This is Kristen Hirsch from Throwing Muses, and you're listening to a podcast released under a Creative Commons license.
You are listening to a First Nations Intelligence Bulletin report transmitted from Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Radio Intelligenter Indigena.
Radio Intelligenter Indigena.
Radio Intelligenta Indigena.
Keeping the fourth world informed one listener at a time, this is Internet Radio for Intelligent Aboriginal.
Radio Intelligenta Indigena.
News service.
This is radio for the people who made the first, second and third worlds possible. Radio Intelligenta Indigena. Indigenous talk radio for real human beings. Powered to all the Aboriginal people and their struggles across the fourth world.
For more information, please visit angryindian.blogspot.com.
Radio Intelligenta Indigena.
Now.
This is Radio Intelligenta
Indigena.
So I'll be talking into your heart, into your head, in just a few moments. All I want you to do is just lend me your ear for the time that we will be together.
For those who like knowledge, man, like myself, in the name of Allah, man, you find out who's true and living, man, and you really get the truth. That's how I'm going to put it to you, man. Truth of all things in existence, man. You know what I mean? That's what you want to do in the name of Allah. And Allah means arm, leg, arm, and head, man, forming a physical body, you know what I'm saying? That's what it is, man. So don't get twisted. Don't get scared. Don't get caught up in the 9/11 terrorist bomb and shit and all of that, man. Understand that you are living, man, in the name of Allah. Study your lessons.
Transmitting to the fourth world from within occupied North America, this is Radio Intelligenta Indigena, Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. What can I say? It's been a while, you know. It's been a while since I've been with you. We've had some technical problems. We've had the usual employment problems, you know. It's been a struggle. It's been a struggle, but we're back. We're stable. You know what I'm saying? You know, but we're back. And, you know, salutation and peace to the original people of the earth, the First Nations who recognize themselves as the real human beings. I'm your host, The Angry Indian. I serve as editor of the Intelligent Aboriginal News Service at angryindian.blogspot.com. And you have tuned in to Indigenous news, thought, and analysis on issues and causes that matter to the First Nations and other communities across the world living under imperial, theological, colonial, and ugly neoliberal control. I welcome you back, my brothers and sisters of the fourth world, our non-Aboriginal ideological comrades, and the ever-present eavesdropping spooks listening to what might be said here about how their masters manipulate, eviscerate, and ignore the original peoples and nations of this planet. Bid you all welcome in peace. This is The Angry Indian. This is Radio Intelligenta Indigena. This is Internet Radio, Smart Aboriginals, and all others who give a damn about social and human justice. So yeah, it's been a while since I've been with you people, and we have the Cold War that has started up all over again. Over, you know, for most Americans, they knew, you know, Georgia to them was a state in the South, or it is a state in the South, you know, where the Klan still lives and where it's still dangerous for certain people to be in certain parts of the town, within, you know, in towns within that state after dark. No, we're talking about Georgia in the East, you know, sometimes part of Europe, sometimes not part of Europe. I mean, have you seen that? Russia is not considered a part of Europe now. But then, were they ever? You know, why does NATO even exist? If this is all, you know, Europe, right? You know, we've talked about this, brothers and sisters. You know, where is Europe? You know, what are the borders of Europe? What is a European? I mean, this incident going on right now is a perfect example of this. You know, all of this time, at least for the past, what, 10, maybe 15 years, you know, Russia is a part of Europe, you know, and they said it was some feeling, you know, the wall came down. Okay. And this entire time, they've been pushing the Russians. I mean, you have grandmothers that are selling heroin on the streets of Moscow. I'm talking about 2020, 60 Minutes, you know, real news reporting. You know, the corporate fed news feed is saying to you that people are in dire, dire straits in what was the Soviet Union. Now, this is not to say that the previous system was better. But they didn't have the chaos that they have now. And for one damn thing, the gangsters didn't control the country. You know, if you're an American businessman, you know, British, Australian, or whatever the case may be, you have to go through their version of the mafia before you can do anything. You won't be able to move. You won't be able to move. So, you know, this is what capitalism has brought them. HIV and AIDS is also a problem. Crime has gone sky high. Racist skinhead gangs rampant throughout most of the major cities, attacking not just, you know, Jews and minorities, you know, African students, homosexuals. You know, this is what capitalism brings. And then we're looking at Sister Cuba down here. You know, Brother Fidel, we, you know, our prayers and thoughts are with him. And I really mean that. I've always respected Dr. Castro, despite what has been said, you know, about him. You know, perfect? No. But the hell if he just sold his people out, as, say, Philippines, who pushed their people into overseas working contracts, which is basically, you know, indentured servitude. Women are away from their children, away from their husbands, their families. Something that is very important to us as Filipino people. And the women are sent to become maids and stewards in Abu Dhabi, Dubai, United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia. They're sexually abused. They're physically abused. In many cases, they don't return home. In many cases, you know, they take their passport, they confiscate it from them as soon as they get there. They have no say in what happens to them. And what happens with our brothers? They too, United Arab Emirates, you know. Some of these words are just really hard to pronounce, man. You know, it's not my language, but, you know, I know where it is on the map. You know what I'm saying? Dubai. Saudi for damn sure. Iraq. Do you know how many Filipino men were caught up in Iraq? They were oil workers. They worked the pipelines and so on. You know, the rigs. All of that ugly, nasty work that the now rich, you know, class, the middle class, upper middle class. We're not even going to talk about the royals in these cases. Don't want to do. You know, so they bring in other people. And the Philippines just doles their people out. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go. For, you know, they have to pay taxes, right? They send money home, of course, to their relatives. But nobody talks about what happens to these people in these other countries. And how, in many cases, they're abandoned. I've spoken to sailors who, you know, merchant marines, who have told me, you know, how many times through Italy, through France, you know, for these different ports of call, that they'll see Filipinos, you know, trying to get a ship, trying to get home. Because they would just dump them and no pay.
So they're living on the street. They're doing whatever it is they can until they can get a ship trying to get back. In many cases, they don't. And who the hell knows what happens to them in these situations, in these places. And now, being that everyone is copying the U.S. style of, you know, dealing with immigrants, in many cases, these men are detained. But who knows how long? Who knows where they are? Who seems to care at the Philippine consulate? If you're from the provinces, who gives a damn? My bloodline is Ilocano. You know? And we're the people. Who cares? We're the savages, you know? We're the mountain folks, right? And people say those prejudices don't exist, but yes, the hell they do. Yes, they do. You know? And, you know, we're looking at this. And then I'm looking at Russia. And then, you know, you do have all these indigenous people that are in the middle. Georgians. You know, I mean, Stalin was an ethnic Georgian, right? You know, you have all of these nationalities here in the mix. And now Poland has been pulled into this. You know, the U.S. is putting missiles over there. And of course, Poland, you know, has now been told by Russia, you're a target. And then NATO. And somebody please tell me why NATO still exists in the 21st century when the Cold War is supposedly long over. Why NATO still exists. You see what I'm saying? You know, this whole thing has never stopped. Exploitation. This whole thing with South Ossetia and Georgia is about oil. It's about another pipeline. It's about greedy men who are already rich looking to get richer. I sense no justice. I sense no progression in the human scheme of trying to better, you know, the species, right? You know, to move forward. I see absolutely none of that. I see a small group of Europeans. And I'm not saying this in a racist way. I'm looking at the Bilderberger Group. I'm looking at the Trilateral Commission. You understand what I'm saying? I'm looking at the World Bank. I'm looking at the International Monetary Fund. I'm looking at the United Nations. Who founded it? Where is it based? I mean, do you know, brother and sister, that at least under Clinton, I don't know what the hell happened. I doubt very seriously if this administration paid the bill. But the United States for years, has not paid its dues to the United Nations. Did you know that? They just diss everybody. I mean, they really don't give a damn, do they? There is just no accounting for the lack of respect that this administration shows, not just to the world, but to his own people, even to their own constituents. You know, Joe Sixpack out there that's, you know, 100% pro-Bush, but doesn't understand why he can't get his teeth fixed, or why his brother-in-law has been out of a job for over 3 years. Oh, yes, let's blame the Negroes, and then we'll blame the Jews that supposedly really run the government, and then let's round up a bunch of Mexicans because they took the brother-in-law's job. You've heard it before. Maybe you've even said it. You caught yourself a minute later. But you understand where I'm coming from. You know, when it's hard for us to understand and cope with the fact that we really are powerless and that we can't stop, you know, this rich colonialist white man's gravy train from stomping over other people. And as you can see, it is not, you know, limited. You know, that's why I keep trying to tell people, and we're going to talk about this when, you know, we come back, and we're going to get into some letters. because it really seems to me that people listen to the show, but then don't listen. I don't know how many times I've had to say some of this stuff. But what I'm getting to is, here are the South Ossetians, this breakaway ethnic group, Asian, as far as my perspective goes, and look what's happening to them. You know, basically the IDF and American whatever the hells have been training the Georgians and gave them the go-ahead. At least that's what the Israeli press has been saying, to go stomp on these people, you know, to keep them from breaking off or whatever the hell. And Russia, of course, being right there, is on their periphery. So what are they going to do? They're going to mobilize. What the hell would happen if, you know, Canada mobilized over here? You know, or worse yet, if Canada, for whatever bizarre reason, would say, start training border patrol troops in Mexico. Not even Mexico. I mean, what if an armada showed up around, you know, for supposed exercises off the coast of Hawaii? From wherever. You know, what would happen? You know what would happen. Yeah. So, you know, maybe Nostradamus was right. You know, Michelle de Nostradamus, those of you who are, I'm not going to say New Age, but, you know, I will use the term occult because that's what it is. You know, it's secret studies. And those of you who are familiar with Michelle de Nostradamus, otherwise known as Nostradamus, kind of like the Mayan calendar, which I take seriously here, in my household, that, you know, 2012, that's it. It's all over. Now, our people, the Mayans, and the Hopi, for that matter, both say around 2012, but it's not complete doom. You know, a new world will just be constructed on top of the old one. You know, this is the third or the fourth world, I understand. So, you know, hey, you know, it's not something, you know, I can, you know, seriously discuss, because I don't understand the Hopi system other than what I've read from books that were written by white people. So I don't feel comfortable, you know, saying that, yeah, I know for damn sure. I don't, you know, but I do remember learning about the Hopi timeline and, Elder Thomas Banyakaya, I believe his name is pronounced, he explained it on film. I actually had taped that and watched it maybe a few dozen times. You know, we knew, just like our brothers, you know, in the South, Mayan, Inca, all knew that Europeans were coming, and knew that once Europeans came, as the Hopi put it, they would bring electricity, and that electricity would change things. The water would rise, and that the real human beings would have to, you know, go to the mountains to, in order to make it. And then everything would start over again. Now, again, I'm not sure how accurate that is. If anyone is better, you know, better versed in that. I know there are many, there's some listeners in Germany who I hear from occasionally. I know that they, do much more, they put much more time into understanding these paradigms. And, I know there are people who listen in Germany. So, you know, drop me a line at editor.novohoservo@gmail.com and tell me what you think, because, you know, I think it'd be worth discussion. I don't see why not. We are a spiritual people, you know, we're not just locked in a box. We don't need a church. You know, our spirituality is wherever we are. You know, we simply need to be free in order to actualize what our spirituality leads us to, because we are real, bona fide, original human beings. And, there's a lot of ways that can be looked at. But again, you know, what does this have to do with Russia? Well, it doesn't seem like it has anything to do with Russia. But my point is, you know, whether it's the Mayan idea of 2012 being when there would be great change, you know,
someone like our Hindu brothers and sisters who look at Maya and Vishnu as being, you know, opposites of things. You know, it seems very surreal, especially when people look at Vishnu, right? You know, to understand any of that with the Buddhist concept of Maya, which is borrowed from the Hindu. You know, Shiva. I mean, the idea that, or the phoenix, that, you know, flames, cleanse, destroy, utterly destroy, and change the form of something, and it develops into something else. You know, something that's not just the idea of being positive or progressive or a good thing, but to progress to a next level, to actually grow. And as all living things, you're born, you develop, you crawl, you learn to walk, you run, you get stronger, and then things decrease. The body starts to age, things are not, you know, physically as powerful as they were. So your inner self, your spirit, your mind has to become more. It just has to be more. It has to expand, because you'll be relying on your senses. You'll be relying more on your intuition, your wisdom. See, this is the path to me, and this is just my personal observation. This is the path to me of being a real human being. The idea of going through the entire cycle, explore the entire circle, this whole cycle of what it is to experience life, what it is to experience being a natural human being. And the only way one can do that is to allow oneself and those around them to be human. You know, but see, you can't earn a profit and maintain control over people, and they have freedom. They have freedom not just to speak, because what we speak doesn't really mean anything. And what's coming and being, you know, what's being developed in our brains is twisted. You know, the Greeks, who, you know, Europocentrists like to point to as the epitome of what has become what they consider to be this pinnacle of civilization. Besides the fact that they're Johnny-come-latelys when it comes to the idea of democracy and philosophy. And this isn't a diss to the Greeks, to the ancient classical Greeks, but to say that they are the epitome when you have the Americas, Africa, and Asia before them makes absolutely no sense. But I will say one thing. They have passed on to the yokel of today, even though he does not acknowledge this, because it is too barbaric. The mind is too barbaric of a colonialist to grasp this. That spirit and mind and emotions must be strong. Strong body, strong mind. That is why they looked the way that they did in these representations that we see of these people. Naturally fit. Not Mr. Iron Man 2008. You know, or Miss Barbie, you know, via your nearest Beverly Hills plastic surgeon. I'm talking about real human beings. They allowed themselves to be human beings. Sexually, they allowed themselves to be human beings. You know, I mean, yes, they had a slave system, but even the slaves were allowed to go to the museums. They were allowed to gain culture and knowledge. They were educated. Their internal policy, though, was not the same as the external policy. They were vicious. But my point is, they understood that in order to have a balanced person, to have a balanced and orderly society, even with the slaves, so that they would accept their lot, you had to have a union of the body and of the mind together. If you want to get metaphysical, which I suppose we have been for the past 6 minutes or so, is that you have that harmony. It makes for a more logical and balanced person. You see, but when you're uncivilized and you just walk around spewing, you know, hatred because who knows what the hell the problem is. But you need to deal with it. This is the Angry Indian. You are listening to Radio Intelligente.
Now, with more than 1,700 American troops dead, and many times that number wounded, the Downing Street memo is relevant. The facts on the ground tell us there were no WMDs in Iraq and no links to 9/11. So, was the president misinformed about these issues? Or was intelligence being fixed to support an invasion? To read the Downing Street memo, or for news and information about it, go to the website afterdowningstreet.org.
And I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower of a TV. You know, TV was obviously on, and I used to fly myself, and I said, there's one
terrible president. The only video we've been told exists of the plane flying into the first tower spent the entire day in the videographer's camera at ground zero. So what video did Bush see?
This is Noam Chomsky. Strong evidence suggests that the Bush administration launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge and tortured, targeted civilians and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
I charge the white man with being the greatest liar on earth. I charge the white man with being the greatest drunkard on earth. I charge the white man with being the greatest wine eater on earth. Yet the Bible forbids it. I charge the white man with being the greatest gambler on earth. I charge the white man, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, with being the greatest murderer on earth. I charge the white man with being the greatest peacemaker on earth. I charge the white man with being the greatest America on earth. I charge the white man with being the greatest father on earth. I charge the white man with being the greatest believer on earth. I charge the white man with being the greatest troublemaker on earth. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I ask you,
mind transplant. Listen to independent radio, the alternative media in general. This is Ward Churchill. Saying have a nice day.
This is Angry Indian. Welcome back to Radio Intelligente Indígena. And I'm going to get into some notes. Some of them left on the blog that I've received. And a couple of things I want to mention. Survival International has put out a notice that there's an urgent petition being lost to support Indians. In Brazil, indigenous peoples and their supporters have launched an urgent petition calling on Brazil's Supreme Court to uphold the ratification of Raposa Serra do Sol on the indigenous territory in the Amazon region of northern Brazil. And of course, I probably pronounced that wrong. Apologize to my brothers and sisters down in Brazil. But the petition will be delivered to Brazil's Supreme Court, which is due to rule on maintaining or reducing the size of the reserve on the 27th of this month. A decision reducing the size of the territory will set a catastrophic precedent endangering indigenous land rights all over Brazil. Now, it's home to about 18,000 of our people, and it was signed into law in 2005.
but a group of farmers had invaded the land. They claimed it, so to speak, in the 1990s, and they squatted and refused to leave. So they began a war against the indigenous population. And since 2008, 10 Indians have been shot by gunmen employed by the farmers, and homemade bomb is thrown into one community. So that's, you know, it's pretty damn serious. And it just shows you that, you know, the Indian wars are not over. And it's not a matter of me, you know, sounding bitter or being angry. It's the point that someone would even consider doing that. I mean, weren't there children there? You know, what sort of person throws a bomb into a home and wants to talk about their rights and the rights of other people and justice? Where's the justice? So, now, speaking of justice, we have in India, you know, governments all over the world are just going out of their minds. Now, the Assam government on Monday is directing the police to issue suit at site owners in the three northern districts of Uldaguri, Darang, and Sanitpur. Now, of course, if I'm saying this wrong, people, don't hate me, okay? There's been clashes between the Muslims there and the Bodos. And, you know, what, since August the 14th, there's been five people killed. And the tension is just through the roof. You know, it's just, you know, gangs of people just running around, and, you know, and they can identify anyone who is what they consider to be the enemy. They just brutalize them, you know, for absolutely, well, I'm not going to say absolutely no reason. But, I mean, you know, as Pagal Pundit wrote here, the situation is turning grimmer in the Assam, and Delhi is sleeping. It will rise when the situation is out of control, which of course means they're going to come in and just do everybody in. Now, the Bangladeshi issue is a very emotive issue here in Assam, which is not being addressed by the powers to be. So, you know, obviously there's issues, and I'd like to thank Pagal Pundit for leaving that note. Now, you know, there are obviously long simmering, you know, issues underneath all of this. And are they being discussed? It's just like right here in the United States. You got all these, you know, all this nonsense about Obama's, you know, race. What's the underpinning? What's the undercurrent to all of that? It's not being discussed. No one's discussing it. It's not up for debate. You know, there's no acknowledgement of it at all. None. And everyone sits around and wants, and you know, is openly wondering, but their mouth gaped open. You know, how did all this happen? How do you think it happened? How do you think it happened? Now, we also got a note from Dave Chandler. Now, he's the co-chair of the Colorado Green Party. And some of you may remember the other day, we published or republished a story from Fire Ridge Rising, you know, our sister down in Colorado. And now, the way Fire Ridge has it, Colorado's White Power Green Party can't stop Sam McKinney. Now, I'm not in Colorado, but Fire Ridge is. And they're saying that they actually, I'll just read what he says. Now, this is coming from Dave Chandler, the co-chair of the Colorado Green Party. Last Monday, August 11th, Recreate 68 issued a press release listing McKinney and Clemente as speakers. The Greens organizing a trip to Colorado, including buying the plane tickets and arranging lodging. We're totally unaware of any such arrangements. It was a Kinney campaign staffer, David, who told us that indeed no Recreate 68 events were known by him, and that a press release to that effect would be appropriate. Despite our continued efforts to receive a direct communication from McKinney about her plans while in Denver, we heard nothing. To this day, Colorado Green organizers have heard nothing from the McKinney campaign about what Cynthia Rosa are doing in Denver. There is, therefore, nothing principal about Cynthia McKinney's and Rosa Clemente's behavior towards the Green Party of Colorado. If the presidential nominees of the Green Party want to ignore Green grassroots, want to ignore community focus, don't want to practice the 10 key values and kowtow to the lunar elements of the Denver-Lefri attribute, well, that's just fine with us. But then, don't count on the money, support, or votes. So, look, it could be miscommunication, and I would like to remind both parties that this sounds like a call rove operation. I mean, you know, don't think that they're not threatened by this, with Obama already in the lead, right? You know, despite, have you heard this, that Henry Kissinger was over there in Georgia, Russia, wherever the hell it was. You know, I probably should even quote it, but you know, supposedly he told some other world leader over there while they got all that mishigas going on, that McCain is going to get in. It's a done deal. Now, I heard this on the Mike Malloy show, so, you know, take it for what it's worth. But, you know, I mean, this to me sounds like a call rope operation, you know, because what it does is, here, if you have, an African, you know, running for the Democratic Party, he's the presumptive, as, you know, it's the new code word now, presumptive, candidate for the party, and they're looking at, they say, supposedly it's going to come out this weekend, Joe Biden is going to be his running mate. And I know this means absolutely nothing to our listeners, not, you know, outside of the United States, but what it is that they have one black man getting this far, and here you have Cynthia McKinney and Clemente. So you have an African and a Puerto Rican who have been nominated by an opposing party. They oppose the Democrats. They definitely oppose the Republicans. And I'm sure if you sat them in the same room with Bob Barr and the Libertarians, it's not going to go too well. So, you know, but the Libertarian white man, Republican, of course, a white man. So here you have the Democrats, and then you have another political party that has a dual female, an Indian and African ticket? No. And you have Nader, who's Arab, and his running mate, who I believe is also, well, I know he's Latino, but I don't know exactly where from. Why wouldn't they screw that up? And, get the communications between these two groups confused. You know, I would like to think that McKinney can carry herself better than that, and I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt, but I'm also listening to Mr. Chandler here from the Colorado Greens, and it's not as if the Greens don't have to worry about these sorts of intrusions. And let's just call it sabotage. Let's just call it what it is. That's exactly what it is. And why wouldn't they stick a needle into the brain of those that are running that party? I mean, look what's happened here in the past fortnight. How long has it been since I spoke to you all? You've had one lunatic who goes into a church, doing a children's program at the Universalist Church, shoots up a bunch of people, and when they go home, to his home, Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh, Simple Sean Hannity, Hal Turner, all of these lunatics, Glenn Beck, all of their books, their screens, their vomit, it's all in his home, and he listens to this crap constantly, all day, to the point where it's coming out of his nose. So, he decides to, save America. And he goes and does Michael Douglas and goes and shoots up the church. Now, where is the roundup of white men because of this? You had that Fernald guy who shot the Philippine brother, the mail carrier, went and shot some other people, looking for some Jews to kill, right? And, where was the roundup of these gun-toting, gun-loving, flag waving, white men in their, late 20s, early 50s, collect guns, watch Fox News all day, you know, drink beer, eat a lot of red meat, you know. What's up with that? You know, how come that's never addressed, discussed, you know? But they'll round up black men, you know. They'll round up men. Indians, that's a given. You know, you have more than three Indians standing at, you know, together at any one time, on or off the rails. You know, you're plotting the takedown of the system. You know, they're going to get us for what we did to sit and fall. You know, it's like that's the attitude. You know, with black men, if it's, you know, more than two. They're gonna do something. How do you know? You know, they do. You know how it goes. So yeah, you know. So to Mr. Chandler, the Colorado Green Party, and McKinney, Joe, let's sit down and talk. Because, you know, it may not be what you think it is. Brother Chavez is. Made himself really made himself a pain in the ass to these guys, man. He's decided that he's proposing that, you know, Latin America be renamed to Indian America. I mean, I like that idea personally. So does Noah Frank. He left a note on the blog, Chavez for president in the U.S. So, he was in Caracas, and he said, let's call our continent Indian America instead of Latin America. And, you know, that's something I can go for. I can share that. Yeah. I mean, that's progress. You know, by acknowledging who's here, what goes on, what has gone on, what continue to go on, what is likely to go on unless we put a stop to it. Talking about the genocide of our people. Then yeah, he said that the notion Latin has been enforced by the Europeans, while Indians were the continent's indigenous population. He says that his move is aimed at restoring justice. So, I mean, hey, the brother is, you know, could look like somebody in my family. Mixed Amer Indian, Afro Venezuelan, and Spanish descent. So, like I said, that's progress as far as I'm concerned. I don't know, it's just so much. Yeah, you know, to the point where it's obvious that the people are simply not. Not using it, noggins at all. You know, there is nothing. And, you know, on that, I'll get to a couple of letters I received here. And I know we've discussed this, but, you know, we'll go through it again. Angry Indian, I thought this was an Indian website. Why do you talk about black movies? I don't see how the two can coexist. I'll listen to your answer on the podcast. Thanks. Hawk Mark. Yeah, this is a native, you know, website, podcast, all that. But I'm also African. And, you know, my goal where the truth may be, you know, I don't care who says it. You know, the point is, it's a train of thought that I think a lot of people, regardless of your ethnicity. And if you look at YouTube and some of the other, you know, media that's available on the internet, you'll notice that it's a mixed crowd. It's not simply African people. You'll see quite a few Asians. You know, quite a few Mexicans. You know, a lot of Mexicans have asked to join the Asian business. You will see a handful of white people here and there. So, religion not what you think, but that doesn't mean that I subscribe to Islam. I don't subscribe to any religion. You know, it's not my thing. It's not my train of thought. You know, how you may feel about that, with all due respect, it's your own affair. That's not why I'm a playing. I mean, there are quite a few theologians that I have sound bites to. And I don't agree. I mean, Father Flager in Chicago, same city as Farcombe, I'm not Catholic anymore. But, you know, I mean, if he says something that's right on, it's right on. You know, I'm not interested in the souls. I'm interested in quality. I'm interested in, you know, actually being able to have this supposed dialogue, debate, discussion, discourse, you know, whatever you choose to call it. You know, that discussion that never takes place, that should take place. And, you know, these people raised them. So, you know, on that basis, that's why you may hear, you know, sound bites from Mr. Farcombe, you know, for anybody for that matter. It's because that, you know, what they're saying is, you know, it's opening minds, it's opening doors. So, you know, that's the reason for that. Now, the second one is proof that I don't know where the hell people's minds are, but that they're not in the world that I live in. No name with this. I'm not going to give out the email address, but it's very simple and blunt. Why do you hate Mexicans? Now, I don't know where the hell that came from. If you're talking about the immigration bit, I'm going to say this again. And I guess it's not for the last time. I don't think anybody's interested. My issue is not Mexicans. My issue is with the United States government making claim to territory that doesn't belong to them. And it's a hypocrisy for them to say that, you know, as white people, you know, they're going to keep these people out. Especially, it's a larger hypocrisy when, and I have pointed out on this show many, many times, and on the blog many, many, many times, that, you know, the only reason these people are rushing in, the only reason anyone is leaving their own nation, their birthplace, to go someplace where they're not expecting to do anything more than work harder properly than they did before. They don't promise that things will get better for them. Just because the United States has crippled Mexico. The Mexican economy has been crippled way before NAFTA and GATT. It's just that was the final touch. And, you know, their legends have been controlled by the United States for decades. So they're only coming up here because of the conditions back home that have been placed, you know, or made real by United States intervention. The United States has invaded Mexico several times. It's a matter of the public record. So, you know, now, if you're referring to some comments I've made where I've said that, you know, neighborhoods have been affected, communities have been affected, crime has gone up, and gang involvement and size of gangs have gone up because of electoral immigration. Well, that's a fact. That has nothing to do with Mexicans per se. That's a fact. You have, you know, no country in the world will allow a large immigration of uneducated people into their population. Because, you know, for them, economically, it doesn't bring anything to their system. Socially, it doesn't bring anything to their system. It becomes a strain on the system. Now, of course, a percentage of these people will be able to rise past the racism, past the classes, past, the usual stuff that affects not just immigrants, but working people across the planet, you know, stuff within. Not just, you know, capitalists, but, you know, neo-capitalists, you know, such as China, neo-capitalist states. You know, I mean, a very small percentage of those people will rise and become CEOs of whatever the hell the nation is. And I'm not saying that it's an impossibility, but the odds are always against them. The odds are always against them. Especially when they're being brought in for cheap labor, which is what has happened in the United States. It's no accident that these people are coming, because they're being hired by American firms. If you look at what happened here in Ireland recently, they're saying that it's turned into the largest open-air prison in history. Now, they are reinvested, nearly 400 workers at this meat packing plant, a kosher meat packing plant in Pottsville, Iowa, by the way. Now, because of this raid, the town of Pottsville, lost more than a quarter of its population. And those left behind, it's an open-air prison. They can't work anymore, but they can't leave town either. They can't go back to Mexico now, even if they want to. They're making them stay. So you have dozens of these women, their husbands are locked up, and they're just there, without status, with no means to support. The church is the only one that's been feeding them. And they have to wear electronic monitoring bracelets. So you would figure they want them to get the fuck out, right? Excuse my French, but no, they won't even let them leave. So what the hell is that? Why would I not, you know, have solidarity with them? I'm just saying, your house is your house, and my house is my house, and we always understood where the boundaries were. I'm not blaming them, but I do point out, and I will continue to point out, as long as the situation is not addressed, the social issues that have been happening up here, it's not a matter of putting blame. What the hell is happening? They are being denied. In many of these communities, they are being denied the basic social mobility that white people have come to simply take for granted. And when that stuff is becoming even more limited for them and more restricted, many of them already still working illegally, you know, under the lowest pay scale possible by law here. The federal minimum wage. They have people who are still busting their ass 11, 12 hours a day for $3 an hour. I am completely conscious of this. But my point is that when things turn out bad for them, and when their young men can't get them, lack of language skills, lack of social skills, they end up becoming a burden on a society in terms of crime. Now, if you're accusing me of saying that there's a congenital, thing within the Mexican to do crime, see, I never said anything like that, and to even suggest that is completely stupid. See, that's, again, not looking at the facts. If you want to look at emotions and say, okay, well, the poor Mexican, everything that goes on, it's just totally not your fault, and we should never look at the thing and deal with it. I'm not even talking about some harsh measure to get at Mexican people for rising in Latino gangs or something. And it's not even a matter of bitterness about what's been going on in L.A., between Latinos and African people who used to get along, now they're fighting each other in the streets all over California. Well, that just leads into what I was saying. Here you have people fighting for resources. There is so little value. And now what little bit, even under the radar, under the table, has pretty much been dominated or monopolized, however you put it, by Latinos. But it's not a matter of the Latinos so much coming in. They're going for the opportunity. They're being hired by these other people who should simply be hiring people on a fair basis and paying a fair wage to begin with. But see, that's not being discussed. And Mexicans have started to realize this. And this is something else that, if you took offense to this, then you need to ask yourself where these attitudes are really coming from. There are Mexicans who are starting to understand, because people have told me this at my dinner table, that they realize if they treat black people, the way they see whites do, white people treat them better. So, you pay your money and you take your chances, right? I mean, that's where it's at. you have people who are scrambling over resources. So, you know, there's so little out there. And what little bit there is left, nobody wants to give up an inch. You know, nobody wants to back down because, you know, everybody's fighting to survive. You have a situation like that, man. I mean, what the hell do you expect people to do? How do you expect people to act? But antisocial, tribally, as they like. And these are all questions that need to be brought up. But to, you know, simply, you know, point out the fact that there's an issue with, you know, Mexicans being in the country, and to equate that with some sort of, you know, anti, you know, Mexican ICE, I would assume then by extension anti-Latino, you know, bigotry. You know, even though you didn't say that, and that's what it kind of seems like, because, you know, people have been taking their crayons and writing me really stupid emails, which just shows that you're not listening to the show. I don't, you know, believe in open borders. I don't. No nation does. Open borders? Hell no. Are you crazy? Then that means whoever has the most resources is just totally going to get swamped until they don't have anything anymore. So if that's the case, open up the door to your home and allow me and my crew to come in and eat, you know, do whatever, because you don't believe in any sort of space. How the hell can you have a civil society if people don't have a sense of space? Think about that. Matter of fact, read Foucault and his work on societies and what society does to people that it doesn't want to deal with. What exactly are they removing them from? What are they, you know, what sort of a situation would be putting them into as a punishment? Think about that. You know, the whole point of you know, this endeavor here is to gain independence for indigenous people. And that's on a multi-level dimension. You know, but within that also means space. And when I say space, I'm not talking about Maplestone politics. Save that. I'm talking about space of mind, space of being, and that also includes physical space and the right to privacy and the right to boundaries. And indigenous people understand that. You know, this is a case of, you know, the huge colonial country making life unbearable on one of his targets, which causes a human flood. How could it not happen? How could it not happen? It would have to be. So something that needs to be dealt with, not pushed under the rug, not addressed because jacks you up emotionally. But looking at the situation and seeing what can be done. Yeah. So, you know, please, any more mail like that, I'm just gonna delete it, because it's ridiculous. You know, it serves nothing, and it really shows that you're not comprehending what the hell is going on. I'm not Glenn Beck, I'm not Sean Hannity, I'm not Hal Turner, any of these other bastards. Don't even suggest that I am in that category. I mean, it's not even so much that I take offense. If you're not understanding it, then, you know, write in and ask a question. And that person did, but it's the way you did it. You know, whoever you are. Have some cool. Damn. Anyway.
I'd like to end this at this point. Thank you for joining your sisters and brothers across the globe that listen to Radio Intelligente Indígena and read the most prolific international indigenous news blog and worldwide web at angryindian.blogspot.com. Special thanks to our listeners and readers from Haskell Indian Nations University and all other native students across the globe smart enough to stay in school, knowing that in order to change the dominant paradigm, we must be prepared mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically by taking care of our minds, spirits, and bodies. You can also find the best indigenous writers and activists such as Brenda Noel, Ridwan Laher, and Federico Fuentes at the Indigenous Intelligence Review at indigenous.blogspot.com. And while we're talking about that, there's a new edition over at the Indigenous Intelligence Review. I'm really glad to have her. She writes a lot of poetry. It's good to have more female perspectives, and it's not enough of that. Even though we see that women are doing the most damn work, when it comes to addressing our issues. And, it's really embarrassing that, that there aren't enough, there isn't enough room for, especially women journalists. It's really pitiful, anger. But anyway, Ojibwe Mishki Binish, if I'm pronouncing it right, I hope I am. If I'm not, sister, please forgive me. Check her out. She's got her own blog. You can find out everything about her at indigenousstuffblogspot.com. And one last thing. Glenn Moore sent me this from Colorado American Indian Autonomous. Let me do point that out. That they are autonomous. Russell Means has sent out a call. All supporters of treaty rights and freedom of indigenous peoples are encouraged to attend and show their solidarity. Lakota planned civil disobedience fishing event will take place August 25th, so you've got 5 days in the tradition of Gandhi and Martin Luther King. Russell Means, the chief facilitator of the Republic of Lakota, is organizing a group of Lakota Indians to enter Sheridan Lake Recreation Area near Rapid City, South Dakota. To pay the admission fee and fish without paying the license fee. Means claims that Lakota retained the right to fish and pass at the 1851 Fort Laramie Treaty, and that those rights continue today and are backed by Article 6 of the Constitution of the United States of America. The event, which is being billed as the Lakota Free Fishing Day, is about much more than the admission fee or fishing license fees, by getting the South Dakota United States governments to follow their own laws. Brother Mead says, after having been an occupied nation for 150 years, we have asked the United States government to leave our country. Meanwhile, under the United States government, leaves the Dakota Territory, we will take every opportunity to insist that followers own laws and that the states will be saved. Now, the Lakota have given notice to Larry Long, the Attorney General of South Dakota, his plans for us. Mead says he has not heard from Long yet and does not know if the state plans are allowing Indians to fish and pass, or if the park rangers will issue citations or arrest any Dakota fishermen. Mead plans to call in federal marshals to enforce the treaty rights. Mead said, according to the Civil Rights Act, the federal marshals should arrest any state official who tries to stop the call from entering the park fishermen. However, if the United States ignores its own laws to deny the Dakota rights, it would certainly not be the first time. This historical event is planned for Monday, August 25th, at 1 p.m. For more information, visit their website at www.republicoflakota.com. And that's really it. That's really it. Reporting from Occupied North America to the International Aboriginal Community for Intelligente Indígena Nova Serra. This is the Angry Indian Center. If you want to get the man up off your back, what you've got to do is stand up. Power to the people. See you.